Therewithal Tristram went unto his father, King Meliodas, and asked him counsel what was best to do for to recover Cornwall from truage. "For as meseemeth," said Sir Tristram, "it were shame that Sir Marhaus, the queen's brother of Ireland, should go away unless that he were foughten withal."
"As for that," said King Meliodas, "wit you well, son Tristram, that Sir Marhaus is called one of the best knights of the world, and knight of the Round Table, and therefore I know no knight in this country that is able to match with him."
"Alas," said Sir Tristram, "that I am not made knight, and if Sir Marhaus should thus depart into Ireland, God let me never have worship, and I were made knight, I should match him."
"And, sir," said Tristram, "I pray you give me leave to ride to King Mark, and so ye be not displeased of King Mark, will I be made knight."
"I will well," said King Meliodas, "that ye be ruled as your courage shall rule you." Then Sir Tristram thanked his father much, and then he made him ready to ride into Cornwall. In the meanwhile there came a messenger with letters of love from King Pharamond of France's daughter unto Sir Tristram, that were full piteous letters, and in them were written many complaints of love. But Sir Tristram had no joy of her letters, not regard unto her. Page 311. Also she sent him a little brachet that was passing fair. But when the king's daughter understood that Sir Tristram would not love her, as the book saith, she died for sorrow. And then the same squire that brought the letter and the brachet came again unto Sir Tristram, as after ye shall hear in the tale. So this young Sir Tristram rode unto his emmy, King Mark of Cornwall, note at the bottom of the page, emmy meaning uncle. Return to text. And when he came there, he heard say that there would be no knight fight with Sir Marhaus. Then yedeth Sir Tristram unto his emmy and said, "Sir, if you will give me the order of knighthood, I will do battle with Sir Marhaus."
"What are ye," said the king, "and from whence be ye comin?"
"Sir," said Tristram, "I come from King Meliodas that wedded your sister, and a gentleman wit ye well I am." King Mark beheld Sir Tristram, and saw that he was but a young man of age, but he was passingly well made and big.
"Fair sir," said the king, "what is your name, and where were ye born?"
"Sir," said he again, "my name is Tristram, and in the country of Leonis was I born."
"You say well," said the king, "and if ye will do this battle, I shall make you knight."
"Therefore I come to you," said Sir Tristram, "and for none other cause." But then King Mark made him knight, and therewithal, anon as he had made him knight, he sent a messenger unto Sir Marhaus with letters that said that he had found a young knight ready for to take the battle to the uttermost.
"It may well be," said Sir Marhaus, "but tell King Mark I will not fight with no knight but he be of blood royal, that is to say, other king's son, other queen's son, born of a prince or princess."
When King Mark understood that, he sent for Sir Tristram de Leonis, and told him what was the answer of Sir Marhaus. Page 312. Then said Sir Tristram, "Sithen and he saith so, let him wit that I am common of father's side and mother's side of as noble blood as he is. For, sir, now shall ye know that I am King Meliodas' son, born of your own sister, Dame Elizabeth, that died in the forest in the birth of me."
"O Jesu," said the King Mark, "ye are welcome, fair nephew, to me."
And then in all haste the king let horse Sir Tristram, and arm him in the best manner that might be had or gotten for gold or silver. And then King Mark sent unto Sir Marhaus, and did him wit that a better born man than he was himself should fight with him. And his name is Sir Tristram de Leonis, gotten of King Meliodas, and born of King Mark's sister. Then was Sir Marhaus glad and blithe that he should fight with such a gentleman. And so by the assent of King Mark and of Sir Marhaus, they let ordain that they should fight within an island nigh Sir Marhaus's ships. And so was Sir Tristram put into a vessel, both his horse and he, and all that to him longed both for his body and for his horse. Sir Tristram lacked nothing. And when King Mark and his barons of Cornwall beheld how young Sir Tristram departed with such a carriage to fight for the right of Cornwall, there was neither man nor woman of worship, but they wept to see and understand so young a knight so jeopard himself for their right. Chapter 6. How Sir Tristram arrived into the island for to furnish the battle with Sir Marhaus. So to shorten this tale, when Sir Tristram was arrived within the island, he looked to the farther side, and there he saw at anchor 6 ships nigh to the land, and under the shadow of the ships upon the land there hoved the noble knight, Sir Marhaus of Ireland. Then Sir Tristram commanded his servant Gouvernail to bring his horse to the land and dress his harness at all manner of rites. Page 313. And then when he had so done, he mounted upon his horse, and when he was in his saddle well apparelled, and his shield dressed upon his shoulder, Tristram asked Gouvernail, "Where is this knight that I shall have ado withal?" "Sir," said Gouvernail, "see ye him not? I weened ye had seen him. Yonder he hoveth under the umbra of his ships, on horseback, with his spear in his hand and his shield upon his shoulder." "That is truth," said the noble knight, Sir Tristram. "Now I see him well enough." Then he commanded his servant Gouvernail to go to his vessel again, "and commend me unto mine Emma King Mark, and pray him, if that I be slain in this battle, for to inter my body as him seemed best. And as for me, let him wit that I will never yield me for cowardice. And if I be slain and flee not, then they have lost no truage for me. And if so be that I flee or yield me as a recreant, bid mine Emma never bury me in Christian burials." "And upon thy life," said Sir Tristram to Gouvernail, "come thou not nigh this island till that thou see me overcomen or slain, or else that I win yonder knight." So either departed from other, sore weeping. Chapter 7. How Sir Tristram fought against Sir Marhaus and achieved his battle, and how Sir Marhaus fled to his ship. And then Sir Marhaus advised Sir Tristram and said thus, "Young knight, Sir Tristram, what dost thou here? Missore repenteth of thy courage, for wit thou well I have been assayed, and the best knights of this land have been assayed of my hand. And also I have matched with the best knights of the world, and therefore by my counsel return again unto thy vessel." "And fair knight, and well-proved knight," said Sir Tristram, "thou shalt well wit I may not forsake thee in this quarrel, for I am for thy sake made knight, and thou shalt well wit that I am a king's son born, and gotten upon a queen." Page 314. "And such promise I have made at my nephew's request, and mine own seeking, that I shall fight with thee unto the uttermost, and deliver Cornwall from the old truage. And also wit thou well, Sir Marhaus, that this is the greatest cause that thou couragest me to have ado with thee, for thou art called one of the most renowned knights of the world, and because of that noise and fame that thou hast, thou givest me courage to have ado with thee, for never yet was I proved with good knight. And sithen I took the order of knighthood this day, I am well pleased that I may have ado with so good a knight as thou art. And now wit thou well, Sir Marhaus, that I cast me to get worship on thy body. And if that I be not proved, I trust to God that I shall be worshipfully proved upon thy body, and to deliver the country of Cornwall for ever from all manner of truage from Ireland for ever." When Sir Marhaus had heard him say what he would, he said then thus again, "Fair knight, sithen it is so that thou castest to win worship of me," and there is a note at the bottom of the page, "cast," meaning intend, return to text, "I let thee wit worship, may thou none lose by me if thou mayst stand me 3 strokes. For I will let thee wit for my noble deeds proved and seen. King Arthur made me knight of the Table Round." Then they began to feutre their spears, and they met so fiercely together that they smote either other down, both horse and all. But Sir Marhaus smote Sir Tristram a great wound in the side with his spear, and then they avoided their horses and pulled out their swords, and threw their shields afore them. And then they lashed together as men that were wild and courageous, and when they had stricken so together long, then they left their strokes and foined at their breaths and visors. And when they saw that that might not prevail them, then they hurtled together like rams to bear either other down. Thus they fought still more than half a day, and either were wounded passing sore that the blood ran down freshly from them upon the ground. By then Sir Tristram waxed more fresher than Sir Marhaus, and better winded and bigger. Page 315. And with a mighty stroke he smote Sir Marhaus upon the helm such a buffet that it went through his helm and through the coif of steel, and through the brainpan. And the sword stuck so fast in the helm and in his brainpan that Sir Tristram pulled thrice at his sword or ever he might pull it out from his head. Notes at the bottom of the page. Coif, meaning a close-fitting cap. Brainpan, meaning the skull. Return to text. And there Marhaus fell down on his knees, the edge of Sir Tristram's sword left in his brainpan, and suddenly Sir Marhaus rose groveling and threw his sword and his shield from him, and so ran to his ships and fled his way, and Sir Tristram had ever his shield and his sword. And when Sir Tristram saw Sir Marhaus withdraw him, he said, "Ah, Sir Knight of the Round Table, why withdrawest thou thee? Thou dost thyself and thy kin great shame, for I am but a young knight, or now I was never proved, and rather than I should withdraw me from thee, I had rather be hewn in 100 pieces. Sir Marhaus answered no word, but yet a his way sore groaning. "Well, Sir Knight," said Sir Tristram, "I promise thee thy sword and thy shield shall be mine, and thy shield shall I wear in all places where I ride on mine adventures and in the sight of King Arthur and all the Round Table." Page 316, Chapter 8. How Sir Marhaus, after that he was arrived in Ireland, died of the stroke that Sir Tristram had given to him, and how Tristram was hurt. Anon Sir Marhaus and his fellowship departed into Ireland, and as soon as he came to the king, his brother, he let search his wounds. And when his head was searched, a piece of Sir Tristram's sword was found in therein, and might never be had out of his head, for no surgeons, and so he died of Sir Tristram's sword. And that piece of the sword, the queen, his sister, kept it ever with her, for she thought to be revenged, and she might. Now turn we again unto Sir Tristram, that was sore wounded, and full sore bled, that he might not within a little while, when he had taken cold, uneath stir him of his limbs. And then he set him down softly upon a little hill, and bled fast. Then anon came Gouvernail, his man, with his vessel, and the king and his barons came with procession against him. And when he was come unto the land, King Mark took him in his arms, and the king and Sir Dinas, the seneschal, led Sir Tristram into the castle of Tintagel. And then was he searched in the best manner, and laid in his bed. And when King Mark saw his wounds, he wept heartily, and so did all his lords. "So God me help," said King Mark, "I would not for all my lands that my nephew died." So Sir Tristram lay there a month and more, and ever he was like to die of that stroke that Sir Marhaus smote him first with the spear. For as the French book saith, the spear's head was envenomed, that Sir Tristram might not be whole. Then was King Mark and all his barons passing heavy, for they deemed none other but that Sir Tristram should not recover. Then the king let send after all manner of leeches and surgeons, both unto men and women, and there was none that would behote him the life. Then came there a lady that was a right wise lady, and she said plainly unto King Mark and to Sir Tristram and to all his barons, that he should never be whole but if Sir Tristram went in the same country that the venom came from, and in that country should he be holpen or else never. Thus said the lady unto the king. When King Mark understood that, he let purvey for Sir Tristram a fair vessel, well victualled, and therein was put Sir Tristram, and Gouvernail with him, and Sir Tristram took his harp with him, and so he was put into the sea to sail into Ireland. And so by good fortune he arrived up in Ireland, even fast by a castle where the king and queen was. Page 317. And at his arrival he sat and harped in his bed a merry lay. Such one heard they never none in Ireland afore that time. And when it was told the king and the queen of such a knight that was such an harper, anon the king sent for him and let search his wounds, and then asked him his name. Then he answered, "I am of the country of Leonis, and my name is Tramtrist, and thus was wounded in a battle as I fought for a lady's right." "So God me help," said King Agwisance, "ye shall have all the help in this land that ye may have here. But I let you wit in Cornwall I had a great loss as ever had a king, for there I lost the best knight of the world. His name was Marhaus, a full noble knight and knight of the Table Round. And there he told Sir Tristram wherefore Sir Marhaus was slain. Sir Tristram made semblant as if he had been sorry, and better knew he how it was than the king. Chapter 9. How Sir Tristram was put to the keeping of La Beale Isoud, first for to be healed of his wound. Then the king for great favor made Tramtrist to be put in his daughter's ward and keeping, because she was a noble surgeon. And when she had searched him, she found in the bottom of his wound that therein was poison, and so she healed him within a while. And therefore Tramtrist cast great love to La Beale Isoud, for she was at that time the fairest maid and lady of the world. And there Tramtrist learned her to harp, and she began to have a great fantasy unto him. And at that time Sir Palamedes, the Saracen, was in that country, and well cherished with the king and the queen.